Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. When life gets complicated and you start to feel overloaded and sluggish, it's time to hit the reset button. Today we continue with a series called Resetting My Life. In this series, Pastor Rick looks into the Bible and shares the steps you can take to reset your life and experience positive, lasting change. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the purpose-driven life selected thoughts and scriptures for the graduate, a hardcover book that will help the graduate in your life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
Anytime we don't want to hear something, well, it's human nature to just come up with some kind of a, you know, mental barrier or excuse to procrastinate. Because even when we learn the truth, doesn't mean we're going to face it. And so we come up with excuses or questions to procrastinate. This is very common. John chapter 3, verse 11. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Jesus says this, "I'm telling you the truth, yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions." Uh-oh. Have you ever used this tactic? Oh, yeah. Every husband's used it. Every wife has used it. Every kid has used it. Every parent's used it. I'm sure you have. We all have. We use questions to divert facing the truth. Somebody says something that's painfully true, and we think up a question to deflect, divert the attention. Okay, so he said, don't do that. God says, don't do that. Don't procrastinate with questions. Jesus points this out. Now he says, you need to listen to the truth. So then the question becomes, what is the truth? What is the truth about you? And what's the truth about me? All right, here it is. Big surprise. We're all broken. We're all imperfect. We all have defects. We all have flaws. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all are imperfect. The Bible says there's not a just man on the earth who always does the good thing and never does what's wrong. We all have this in our lives, and we see it in ourselves. No, we see it in other people. We want to deny it in ourselves. Now, the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. When we claim we haven't sinned, okay, moi? When we claim we haven't sinned, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to circle this, accept the truth. This is the first part of change. I have to admit, I got a problem, and the problem is me. It's in me. I can't blame anybody else. This is a bad pattern. It's a bad habit. It's a bad attitude. It's a bad response. And we're fooling ourselves, refusing to accept the truth. Now, if you don't get anything else I say this weekend, get this. In your life, behind every self-defeating defect, makes it difficult for you to get along with others or whatever it is, behind every self-defeating defect in your life is a lie you're believing. Write this down. Behind every self-defeating defect is a lie I'm believing. It's a lie. That's why it's self-defeating, is because it's based on a lie. I'm believing a lie about happiness and what brings happiness. I'm believing a lie about God and what he's really like. I'm believing a lie about myself. I'm believing a lie about my past. I'm believing a lie about other people, about my life. I'm believing a lie about what is real success. I'm believing a lie about what's going on in my life right now, what's going to go on in my life in the future, my past, my failures. I'm believing a lie about that. This is why the first requirement for personal change to reset your life is to learn the truth and face the truth about myself. Now, you may not realize it, but learning to face the truth about yourself is the most loving thing you can do for yourself. It's not only the most loving thing you can do for yourself, it's the most loving thing you can do for others. Learning to face the truth about yourself is the most loving thing you can do for God. You say, where do you get that? Ephesians 4:15. The Bible says this: love should always make us tell the truth. Then, if our truth telling to ourselves, to others, is based on love, he says, then we will grow. Circle that. We will grow. You want to grow? You want to change? You want a new life? You want to reset? You want to be reborn? You want a fresh start in some area of your life? And you're going to need fresh starts in lots of areas of your life, many times in life. Then we will grow in every way and be more like Christ. When? Well, the first part of the verse. Love should always make us tell the truth. It's love. If you love yourself, if you love God, if you love other people, you need to face the truth about you. So then the question becomes, where's the best source for finding truth? Where do I find the best truth about me? I highly recommend you consult the owner's manual about you. The only way you can know, for instance, your purpose in life, is either talk to the creator who made you, he knows your purpose, or read the owner's manual, it'll tell you your purpose. The only way you can know how to overcome the defects that are in you, that were created by circumstances, by genes, by parents, by bad responses, by your choices, the only way is to find out the truth about me is in God's word. John 17:17, Jesus says this: sanctify them by the truth. What does sanctify mean? It just means to grow up, to be made like Christ, to be made, to be different, to get a reset, that you're not the same old, you're sanctified, you're different. Sanctify them by the truth. And then the second part says, what's truth? Your word is truth. This is God's truth. The more you get in this word, the more you're going to change. The more you get in this word, the more you're going to be transformed. The more you get in this word, the more you're going to be sanctified. You're going to be made new. You're going to reset areas you want in your life. So when it comes to personal change, a reset of your life, the Bible is the manual for resetting your life. And it's going to help you in four very practical ways. Look at this next verse. It explains the four ways the Bible helps you reset your life when you go, I don't like the way I'm living right now. It's not working for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this: all scripture, that's the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's the whole Bible, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Circle the word true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It points out what's out of whack. It straightens us out. It doesn't just point out what's wrong. It shows us how to get back on the path. And it teaches us to do what is right, how to stay on the path. So the Bible does four things. It shows us the path to walk on, okay? It shows us where we got off the path. It shows us how to get back on the path. And it shows us how to stay on the path. Okay, it is God's way of preparing us, the Bible says, in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Now, I could just spend the rest of the message on this, but let me just say this. This is why a daily quiet time of Bible reading and prayer is important. If you're gonna have change, you gotta face the truth. And where is the truth? It's in God's word. If you're not in God's word, you're certainly not learning and facing the truth on a daily basis. It is a mirror that will reflect both the good and the bad and the parts that need changing in you. That's the first step. Change, lasting change requires knowing, learning the truth, and then actually facing it. Be willing to, yeah, that's right. You're right, God. Okay, number two. Here's the second key principle that we're gonna use in this whole series. Lasting change requires new thinking. Lasting change requires new thinking. We talked about this last week, so I'm not gonna have to go into it very much, but I just wanna reemphasize it because it's a key principle. You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. Let me say it again. You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. And the battle for change, friends, brothers and sisters, is won or lost in your mind. Ephesians 4:23. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Thoughts, circle that. Spiritual renewal, where does it take place? In my thoughts and in my attitudes. Where is that? That's all in your mind. So here's how it works. Okay, follow me closely. What you think determines the way you feel. Did you know that? All feelings start with a thought. Feelings aren't feelings in themselves. They're a response to a thought. What you think determines how you feel. And what you feel determines the way you act. So, if you want to change the way you act, you want to change your behavior, you want to stop doing some self-defeating stuff, start doing some good stuff, you must change the way you feel. Because feelings affect your actions. But the way you change the way you feel, you can't just change your feeling. I'm just not going to feel that way anymore. That doesn't work. The only way you can change a feeling is indirectly by going to the root of it, which is a thought. Change the way you act by changing the way you feel. Change the way you feel by changing the way you think. How you think, what you think about all the time. Now, there's a Bible word for this process. Changing the way I think, which changes the way I feel, which changes the way I act. It's the word repentance. Now, most people have no idea the true definition of repentance. They think, when they hear the word repentance, they think of a guy with a sandwich sign and a long beard with a sign that says, turn or burn, you're gonna go to hell. You're gonna die and fry while we go to the sky. That's not repentance, friends. The word repentance is a Greek word. It's the word metanoia. Meta meaning to change in Greek. Noia means mind. Metanoia simply means change your mind. That's all repentance means. All repentance means is change the way you think. Why? Because if you change the way you think, it'll change the way you feel. And the way you feel will change the way you act. It's called repentance. Change the way you think. Metanoia, a reverse of my mindset. A U-turn, a mental U-turn. That's repentance. That's metanoia. And that's the way change happens. We talked about that in depth last week. Now, Philippians 2, verse 5 says this. Let the same mind and attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Circle mind and attitude. Now, again, what you think is a choice. Choosing is the beginning of changing. And when you begin to put on the mind of Christ and you begin to think like he does, then you will start to see your defects in a very different light. Some of you, that just went over your head, so let me say it again. When you change the way you think and you begin to think God's thoughts, the way Christ sees you, the way God sees you, when you begin to put on the mind of Christ and think like he does, your defects, you'll begin to see them in a totally different light. Now, We're going to look at this in detail in a future message, but let me just point out one little thing. This is a teaser. Are you listening? Defects are often strengths being misused. The irritating things about you that other people are bugged by, it's often a strength being misused. For instance, if God has given you the strength of discernment, you're going to be tempted to misuse it and be judgmental about everything. It's a strength being misused. If God has given you the strength of being detail-oriented, you notice little details that can be fixed. If you don't use it correctly, you become picky and unpleasable and high-controlling and finicky. Nobody wants to live with that. God has given you the strength of seeing the big picture, not the little detail, the big picture. If you don't use it correctly, you're going to be tempted to overlook people, and you'll march right over them. You'll walk right over them. You won't pay attention to their feelings. You'll ignore it because you're looking at the big picture. You can't see how all the people around you are feeling about it. If God has given you the strength of being amiable, you can pretty much get along with anybody. And that's a strength. But misused, you're going to let people run over you. People that you should not let run over you. Now, one other thing, I want you to write this down. Okay, everybody, you taking notes, write this down. My defects are often attempts to meet my unmet needs. My defects are often attempts, bad attempts, but they're attempts. My defects are often attempts to meet my unmet needs. You don't act the way you do out of no motivation. You have needs. Now, the needs are legitimate. You're just attempting to get them met in the wrong way. Everybody has a need for respect. Everybody has a need to be respected. But if you don't get respect, as I said, you'll go out and just try to get attention instead. Everybody has a need to be loved. But if that need isn't met, you'll throw yourself at people in a wrong way. Everybody has a need to be valued. But if you don't feel that need to be met, you're going to talk too much. Everybody has a need to feel secure. Everybody does. But if you don't let God meet that need, you're going to try to control everything. A defect is often an unmet need being attempted to, be satisfied in the wrong way.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to share a note that we received from Darren. He wrote me, he calls Daily Hope his morning cup of God because it helps him stay focused on God throughout the day. Darren wrote me this. He said, Pastor Rick, I thank God for Daily Hope. I support Daily Hope because Christ's hope is for me and in me, and I support it because it sends Christ's message to people all over the world. He wrote, I've dealt with my share of demons in my life. I've had cancer, huge financial losses, addictions, permanent disability, chronic pain, and depression. But Daily Hope gets me going in the morning. It's like a cup of coffee for me. But if I haven't had my cup of God in the morning, then I feel like I'm less able to pass on the good news to others. So thank you, Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope helps people like Darren get their lives back on track because it connects them not just with God, but with God's Word. And it is so important for each of us to spend time with God and in God's Word every day. So I want to encourage every one of you to make a daily habit of opening the Bible. Sit down and open the Bible. You may open it on an iPad or on your phone, but open the Bible to see what God says about how we're meant to live. God bless you, everybody.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.